Broadcasting across the United States, Canada, and around the world, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your host for the program is Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because life and truth matter. For more information, resources, or to donate to CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. To start today's Bible Answer Man broadcast, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. It is great to be in studio as we answer your questions throughout the United States and Canada. Our contact information on the web, equip.org, via the mail. It's box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, resource consultant standing by, 888-7000 and the letters CRI. Just a note about how significant it is when occasional givers become regular givers. We do deeply appreciate those who make occasional gifts, but regular gifts are so important to the sustainability of the ministry. You can join the CRI support team as a member by simply going to the web at equip.org/donate. And when you become a regular support team member, be pleased to send you one of my books personalized to you, a family member, or a friend. Please keep that in mind. It would really help this ministry help people quite literally around the world. Let's go first to Ryan. He's listening in Canada on the web. Hi.
Hi, Hank. I was addicted to pornography before coming to Christ, and that baggage didn't disappear when I came to the Lord years ago. So it was a constant fight with the flesh. Sometimes I feel I didn't even put up much of a fight at all. About a year ago, I was diagnosed with terminal brain cancer. That really shook me up, but it allowed me to get real serious with my sin. Feeling godly sorrow, I was able to fully repent of my sin and have not fallen back into it since, thank God. I love the Lord now more than ever, even despite my condition. I'm producing more spiritual fruit than ever, trying to use my remaining time, bringing people to the Lord, bringing glory to His name. My question is, how can I be assured that the warning in Hebrews 10:26 doesn't apply to me as a believer, desperately and genuinely seeking forgiveness in Christ and restoring that relationship? It tears me up thinking that His mercy, love, and goodness would no longer be available to me anymore. My heart wants Jesus more than anything, even more than beating this disease. I'm hoping you can calm my troubled heart. I just fear I've stepped out too far, or I've sinned too long, or gone on in willful sin. Maybe you can help me understand how that applies to me.
Well, it doesn't apply to you. I can say without any equivocation whatsoever that the intent of your heart, so beautifully expressed in the prologue to the question, demonstrates that you are a child of God, that you are in His hand and nothing will snatch you out of His hand. You obviously, as a believer, need to partake of the means of grace. We partake of the means of grace through communion or union with God that we experience daily as we commune with Him in prayer. We experience that unity or this communion with God as we partake of the body and blood of Jesus Christ. As we do that, we are, in fact, interpenetrated by divine energy. You can experience Christ in a very real and tangible fashion. And I think what you have been communicating is that you are experiencing Christ. You have a heart that yearns after God like the deer pants after water brooks. You think of the horrendous sins that were committed by the quintessential king of Israel, King David, and yet he was restored when he prayed Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. Blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. When you have a heart that seeks after God, God is not saying, you know, there was a technicality in your past, and that technicality now excludes you forever. That's not the message of Scripture. Rather, the message of Scripture is that if you desire Christ, Christ is yours. And you have already pointed out that Hebrews 10 does not apply to you. Hebrews 10 says that if you deliberately keep on sinning after you've received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment, which means that if you're continuously, willfully rejecting the love and grace that could be yours, there is no hope of redemption. But far from rejecting, you have received the grace that could be yours. So this does not apply to you. You're not apostate. Rather, you are apostolic. You are following the grace and goodness of God.
What about the word sanctified that's used in that passage? I'm assuming it's not talking about the Christian experience of sanctification.
Yeah, think about the context in Hebrews. How much more severely do you think a man deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, who has treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctified, and who has insulted the Spirit of God? In other words, rejecting the one whose blood is in the covenant. You are one who has come under the influence of God's covenant blessings and has professed to have turned away from darkness to light, and therefore you have been sanctified by the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Okay, and I assume your assessment of me would also hold up for Hebrews 6. As well as Hebrews 10:26 that we just discussed, that those simply don't apply to me because, you know, Christ is still there waiting for me, ready to forgive me and ready to restore that fellowship.
Oh, absolutely. And I can tell by the tenor of the conversation that that fellowship has been restored, that you are experiencing communion with God. To fall away in Hebrews chapter 6 refers to a Hebrew or a Jew who falls back into bondage to the law, which is already fulfilled through that which was finished by Christ. So someone who professes Christ, not someone who possesses Christ. You are not a professor, someone who is professing Christ, but someone who in reality is possessing Christ. Christ is yours and you are his. And therefore, of a surety, I can tell you without one ounce of equivocation that you are his and he is yours. If you desire to be a participant in the kingdom of Jesus Christ, he's not going to keep you out on a technicality. Those who have committed unpardonable sins are those who willfully, continuously, in an ongoing fashion, reject the love and grace that could be theirs.
Oh, that's beautiful, Hank. Like I said, I want and I need Jesus more than I need to beat this cancer. He's more important to me than a cure. He's the most important thing in my life. And, you know, this cancer gave me a wake-up call. And if it was God, you know, restoring anything that needed to be restored, I look at it as a blessing. So that's wonderful news to hear that, you know, I can go back to Christ with confidence and just continue walking with him. That's wonderful.
Yeah, continue participating in his graces. Let me pray with you. Father, thank you so much for Ryan, his testimony to the world even at this moment, an unflinching testimony of your grace. And Lord, we confess that we are all sinners in thought, word, and deed. And we thank you so much for the precious blood of Jesus Christ that restores and refreshes and cleanses from sin. Oh Lord, I pray that you will give to Ryan an unshakable certainty that he is yours and you are his. And Lord, I pray that he may be a continual testimony to your grace and love and power, so that as people see him and see that he has experienced grace in the midst of pain, that they themselves may be cleansed and purified by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, bless Ryan and his testimony, not only to your body, but to a watching world. We pray this not by might, nor by power, but through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Bless you, Ryan. I don't know what I can do for you, but if there is anything I can do to be a support to you, please let us know.
Perfect. No, you've already been such a support to me, just building me up, helping a wounded brother just gain some confidence back to go, you know, into the throne room and, you know, as Christ is an advocate for me, and just having that confidence, knowing that, you know, he's still there for me, and that's huge. That's all I want.
He's there more than ever. Bless you, my brother.
God bless you, Hank.
We'll be right back.
The famous British apologist G.K. Chesterton once noted, "The true soldier fights not because he hates what is in front of him, but because he loves what is behind him." Because at CRI we love what is behind us, our faith, our families, and our freedoms, we will never retreat quietly from the growing assaults on life and truth. Even when the costs are great, we will stand. To join like-minded friends in making a difference at home and around the globe, and to equip fellow believers to stand their ground courageously, become a member of CRI's support team. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will return in a few moments. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library and receive a complimentary subscription to CRI's award-winning Christian Research Journal, just two of the benefits of membership. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org.
For decades, Hank Hanegraaff has shared the truth of the historic Christian faith by answering questions over the radio, defending the faith through the written word, and preaching from pulpits around the globe. Today, he is ready to share his life in Christ, as detailed in his most profoundly personal piece of penmanship to date, Truth Matters, Life Matters More. Hank feels closer to Christ than ever before and wants you to learn from his experiences as recounted in Truth Matters, Life Matters More, so that you can join him on life's greatest journey, the journey toward union with God in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, The Unexpected Beauty of an Authentic Christian Life, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.
Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Back to the phone lines. Bob next. He's listening in Indiana. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call. I have been reading the Bible, and I have a hard time understanding. It seems like there's parables and different things that come along. You say, well, what is this and what is this? And I know that James says that if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask. And I have asked for that, but I'm still having a real problem understanding a lot of the scriptures. Pray about it, and I'm just having a tough time.
I think what's important first and foremost is to understand the main and the plain things of scripture, the deity of Jesus Christ, the doctrine of sin, the sufficiency of the canon, the word of God, which is inspired by God, the Trinity, which is, on the one hand, unknowable, incomprehensible. On the other hand, we can apprehend from Scripture, when God revealed in three persons eternally distinct, the resurrection, which gives us hope. Even as we were just having a conversation with Ryan, we realize immediately that the ultimate hope is not to come to a peaceful way to avoid the maladies of life like brain cancer, but rather to overcome them through the power and certainty of resurrection, the incarnation of Jesus Christ, the reality of being new creations in Christ, the old is past, the new has come, and the fact that Jesus most surely will appear a second time, and when he does, he will put all things to right. Those are things that are main and plain in that they're simply apprehended in Scripture. They're clearly communicated such that a child can understand them just as a theologian can understand them, or at least apprehend them from the pages of Scripture. But there are many secondary issues that take a lot of work. And I say they take a lot of work in that they're both a science and an art. The science means that you master the rules or the principles in the art and science of biblical interpretation. The art in that the more that you make application of the rules, the better you get at it. So again, it is an art and a science, and you become a person who is proficient rightly dividing the word of truth, as opposed to one who must blush with embarrassment because they do not know how to rightly read Scripture. You become that through effort. What I can do is I can send you a copy of an outline that I did using the acronym LIGHTS. It's a 4x6 laminated flip chart that teaches you the art and science of biblical interpretation. If you hang on, be happy to put that into your hands. Back to the phone lines, we'll talk to Tiffany in St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Tiffany.
Hi, Hank. My question was, can you be in a Christian cult such as the Seventh-day Adventists, Jehovah's Witness, Mormons, or anything like that, and still be saved?
Well, I wouldn't equate all those groups. They all have distinctions, and I don't know that I would use the word cult for Adventists. I mean, I think there certainly are Adventists that are very cultic. I have run into my fair share of them over the years who have said that I have taken on the mark of the beast because I worship on Sunday as opposed to Saturday. They also are very vehement about Ellen G. White as a true prophetess, and they try to forward with great dogmatism their distinctives, including soul sleep. But there are also Adventists that don't fall into that traditionalist category. So I don't put them in the same category with Jehovah's Witnesses or Mormons. Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons in particular, if they are consistent with their view, which is to say that they with forethought and premeditation continue to reject Jesus Christ as the creator of all things, they are compromising, confusing, and outright contradicting an essential of the historic Christian faith. The Bible is absolutely clear on this. Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven, things on earth, visible, invisible, whether thrones or rulers or powers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. To deny that is to deny an essential of the historic Christian faith. When I say Jehovah's Witnesses do this by premeditation, they actually take the sacred text of Scripture and insert the word other into the text that I just quoted, such that Jesus is not the creator of all things. He himself is a created being that becomes a junior partner in the creation of all other things. And so you have a direct volitional compromise of the sacred word of God. And the Mormons do the same thing. They relegate Jesus Christ to be the spirit brother of Lucifer of all things. So they are compromising, confusing, and outright contradicting essential Christian doctrine. And if they do that with premeditation and forethought, they are not Christians. They're demonstrating that they have denied the faith once for all delivered to the saints. In fact, the Bible uses the word antichrist for this. Anyone who denies that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is an antichrist, is against Christ and the precepts and principles of his kingdom.
Thank you, Hank. I appreciate your answer.
You got it. Thanks for your call. We'll go right back to the phone calls. Next up is Jerry listening in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Hi, Jerry.
Hey, how you doing, Hank? I listen to your show quite a bit, and I really enjoy your show.
Thank you.
I just have one quick question. I was having this discussion at work, and one of my coworkers, he's really big on this type of thing. He says, well, can you tell me where did Cain get his wife? And he's trying to allude to there's another generation of people that were created. And that's what he's going on assertion there. He's pulling out of the Genesis account.
Well, you can't do that because what Paul says, and you want to leave the magnifying glass for interpreting the Old Testament scriptures in the hands of the New Testament apostles. And Paul tells us that from one man, God created every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth. He determined the exact times and places that they should live, and he did that so that men might reach out for him and find him, though he's not far from each one of us. So we know this is not some other generation of person from one man. God created every nation of men. And you take into consideration the fact that Adam lived almost 1,000 years and fulfilled God's charge to be fruitful and to increase in number. And therefore, while the Bible doesn't tell us where Cain got his wife, you could imagine that over 1,000 years, you would have quite a large progeny, nations that would form over that period of time. And we don't know exactly where Cain and Abel fall in the sequence, whether towards the beginning or towards the end. It is simply one of the stories that is highlighted. And that's what you have in Genesis, because what is ultimately being communicated is God's purposes in creation. So we don't know exactly where they fell in the lineage of Adam and Eve. We're simply not given the answer to that question. So what we can know is that Cain would have married a niece or a sister, and that would not have been a problem because genetic imperfections accumulated gradually over time, and there was therefore no prohibition in the early stages of human civilization against incest.
Yes, yes. Excellent, excellent. You know, that's the one thing I always love about you. You always have such a calm, cool way of giving God's word, man. I really appreciate you guys. I really appreciate you, man. You're doing a great job, man. Thank you very much. Thank you so much.
You got it, Jerry. Thank you for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Betty in British Columbia. Hi.
Hello, Hank.
Hello.
I have a question about Christians and the demonic, because a good friend of mine who... And she said, Jesus is my Savior. I love him dearly, but I can't stop hating my grandfather for what he did. And she was released, and there were 4 demons residing. And the one identified himself as a demon of hate. And I know that the scripture says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And I really believe that gives us the power to cast them out.
Yeah, unfortunately, though, I think that when people say that the demon of hate got cast out or the demon of lust got cast out, they shirk their own responsibilities and they've dealt with a phantom problem as opposed to dealing with the real problem. It's a great ruse because there's no moral culpability. If you are genuinely a believer, your temple is the temple of the Holy Spirit. It will not be shared with a demon. Jesus asked the question, how can anyone enter a strong man's house and carry off his possessions unless he first ties up the strong man? In the case of a demon-possessed person, the strong man is obviously the devil, but in a spirit-indwelt believer, the strong man is God. The force of the argument leads inexorably to the conclusion that in order for demons to possess believers, they would first have to bind the one who occupies them, which means God, and that simply isn't going to happen. You do well as believers to simply look at how spiritual warfare works in Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. I've written a book on it called The Covering. Thanks for tuning in. Look forward to seeing you next time with more of the show.
Thanks for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our daily commitment here at CRI is to defend the faith once for all delivered to the saints and equip believers to become true disciples of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to order resources or listen to the broadcast online, visit our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. Of course, you can write to CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org.